The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, now, first of all, I want to thank you for coming out on a very snowy day. We Washingtonians get excited about snow, but this was really, even the Midwesterners would struggle with this sort of stuff, you know. I would say there's almost 2 feet of snow sitting out there, so it's deep, almost up to my knees. But I want to say to you, just in terms of a homily today, that I don't know if maybe you recognize that there's some elements of the Mass in this Gospel. Let me follow this with you for just a moment. It says here, first of all, that there's a procession that takes place, a kind of a gathering that takes place. It says that Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah. Now, some of us who were in the Holy Land recently, I don't know if you're aware, just when it says hill country, we're not just talking little rolling hills. We're talking Appalachian mountains. Okay, I mean, we're really, these are steep, tall hills, mountains, basically. And you feel like you're in the Appalachian mountains when you're in the hill country of Judah. And Nazareth itself is also a very, very tall mountainous region. Again, Appalachian mountain kind of height. They don't have quite as many trees, but you're basically dealing with a very, very steep and hilly terrain. Mary had quite a journey to make, and it was probably about 70 miles, and she's pregnant. So I don't know if sometimes we appreciate how hardy, strong, and vigorous these people of Jesus' time were. They routinely made lengthy journeys, not through flat terrain, but through very, very mountainous and hilly and very arid, sometimes, regions. So 70 miles, she's pregnant, and 70 miles she goes to greet her cousin Elizabeth. So she made a difficult journey to gather in with her cousin Elizabeth. Now, tonight, this is fulfilled for you who came, even if you didn't have a long way to walk and snow up to practically your knees, you made it. You're here. So the first thing that Mary does is that she processes, takes a long journey, a journey to gather with her cousin Elizabeth. So there's a procession and a gathering. And that's the first thing we do to come together at Mass. Now the next thing that happens, she says she entered the house. Well, you entered this house of the Lord. And so as Mary enters the house of Zechariah and greets Elizabeth, so you entered this house of the Lord and greeted one another. You did greet one another, did you not? Say hello. Okay. All right. So we're gathered here. We've entered the house of the Lord. There's been a greeting, at least a liturgical greeting. Did I not say to you, the Lord be with you at the beginning, and so on. So we have we've gathered, processed, gathered, and greeted, entered the house of the Lord and greeted one another. Now, it says here that the next thing that happens is that there is a sense of joy and praise that takes place. Elizabeth, hearing Mary, is filled with joy. And Mary is filled with joy at seeing Elizabeth. At the beginning of every Mass, we sing a hymn. Tonight we sang, O Come Emmanuel. We gathered, we were filled with joy, and we began to sing and praise the Lord. Rejoice, O Israel, Emmanuel, Emmanuel shall come to you. Rejoice, rejoice, O Israel, Emmanuel shall come to you, O Israel. So We sang a hymn of joy. Now, at other times of the year, here in Advent, we don't sing the Gloria, but remember, after we do the penitential rite, we then sing glory to God in the highest, and we're shouting glory, we're rejoicing to be in one another's presence, but mainly in the Lord's presence. So, you see, a procession, you processed, an enter into the house, you entered into this house of the Lord, a greeting, and then a rejoicing that takes place. And all of these things you see happen here. Now, the next thing that happens is an exchange of words. Mary says something to Elizabeth. We don't know what exactly it is because it's not recorded, but it simply says that Elizabeth heard the sound of Mary's voice. But let me suggest to you that Elizabeth did not simply hear Mary's voice. And we'll see that in just a moment, why I say that. But remember, Mary is carrying now in her womb the Son of God. She is pregnant. She is carrying Jesus in her womb. So when Mary speaks, it is not simply Mary's voice that is heard. It is the Lord's voice. Now, why do I say that? Well, notice Elizabeth says something very remarkable that she doesn't have any way of knowing unless the Holy Spirit had told her. And what does she say? She says, "Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" So obviously, Mary does not simply hear the voice, Elizabeth does not simply hear the voice of Mary, but rather she also experiences the presence and the voice of the Lord. Now, we're going to talk in just a moment of how the babe in her womb leaps for joy as well. But before I get there, whose voice are you hearing right now? See, you might say, "Oh, Monsignor Pope." But I hope that if you have ears to hear, and you might need to close your eyes to do it, so you don't see my ugly face, but that you could say, "I hear the voice of the Lord speaking," you see. Why did you stand a moment ago when I said, "The Lord be with you," and then I announced the name of the gospel? Because it is not to hear Monsignor Pope that you stood to listen, but rather to hear the Lord. We stand out of respect because it is the Lord who speaks. Not because I'm long-winded, you sit for the sermon. But in the ancient church, there were no pews. I don't know if you know that, but all the ancient church didn't have any chairs. People stood for the whole liturgy, except when they knelt. So you see, it's quite a comfort zone that we've created in recent centuries in churches. We put these pews in. Now people want cushions in the pews. All right, there we go. Now, so we have here, again, let's just quickly review. I want to just keep you focused that this is kind of a mass that's going on here. There is a procession. You all processed through the snow tonight. Mary processed. There is an entering into the house. You entered into the house tonight of God. There is a greeting that takes place, and a rejoicing that takes place. You greeted one another, and then together we rejoiced that God is in our midst. Where two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst of them. And so we sang a hymn to recognize the Lord's presence and so on. Now, and then we might have sung the Gloria had it been another time of year. And then we hear a voice, Monsignor Pope's voice, Robin's voice, who did the readings. But I hope you understand, Robin, when you finished the reading, you didn't say word of Robin. You said the word of the Lord. And you all said, "Thank you, Robin." No, you said, "Thanks be to God." You did not simply hear Robin's voice. You heard God's voice. You are not simply hearing my voice now. You are hearing the voice of God. Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Who am I that the priest of God should speak to me? Who am I that the lector of God should speak to me? Who am I? And so the voice of the Lord resounding. And then there is a recognition that takes place. A twofold recognition. One of them we've already looked at. Elizabeth says, "I am not just looking at Mary of Nazareth, my cousin. I am looking now at the mother of my Lord." And the babe in her womb, John the Baptist, leaps for joy at the presence of the Lord. Now, the text does not simply say, you know how those of you who are mothers and have given birth know that the babe will sometimes kick in the womb. I remember when I was 10 years old, my mother was pregnant. She said, "Here, here," and she let me feel as my baby brother was kicking in the womb. That is not what is going on here. The word that is used here is that John is dancing or leaping for joy in his mother's womb. This must have been quite a movement there, especially since Elizabeth is an older woman. Now, the same verb that is used of David dancing in front of the ark is used here. David, you may remember, David leapt, did a dance that was of such reckless abandon that his wife said, you disgraced yourself in front of the crowd with this overly exuberant dance. But that's what John is doing, the same verb. He's leaping, dancing for joy in his mother's womb. Okay? What is happening is a recognition of the presence of Jesus Christ. Now, in a few moments, I'm going to turn to the altar and say the words of consecration and hold up the host. And if you were well trained as a Catholic, you know to say when the priest holds up the host, "My Lord and my God," the words of Thomas, "My Lord and my God." And then after that, I'll turn around and I'll say, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And you say, "Lord, I am not worthy to receive you." Now, what are we doing? We're recognizing the presence of the Lord. Now, it doesn't happen too often, but every now and then there's a little pew jumping that goes on in our masses here, right? We get a little excited at the presence of the Lord, and we rejoice in his presence. Hallelujah, he's here with us. And so we see the recognition of the presence of the Lord. So once again, you see how there's a kind of a mass that's going on here, a mass. And it goes on simply to say, this recognition takes place. Now, the final aspect of the Mass is not in the reading tonight, but it simply says that Mary stayed about 3.5 months in her cousin's house, and after the birth, returned to Nazareth. So Mary comes, spends time in the house, rejoices with her cousin. They both acknowledge and recognize the presence of the Lord, and then Mary departs and returns to her home. And so will you. But do you see, you say, well, you're sort of stretching this a little bit, Father, to find a mass in all of this, but I hope you see that it fits. And why do I do this? Because I want simply to say to you that when we come to Mass, these are not just mindless rituals that we do. They actually have a structure. They actually have a purpose. I could probably find you 5 other examples in the Gospels where basically what we've got is a Mass going on. The road to Emmaus, the healing of the 10 lepers. There's several others I could give you, but all of these, you look at them and there's the basic components, the structure of a Mass. There's a gathering, there's a cry of joy or a cry, "Lord, have mercy." There's a sharing of a word. There is a recognition of the presence of the Lord and a worship of him and ascending forth. And that is what we do. We come. We gather. We rejoice, we listen, we acknowledge the presence of the Lord, we receive him, and we go forth. These things are not just arbitrary things that we've made up. Oh, well, let's put a table here and call it an altar. And now let's see, let's just put this little stand here and do some reading while we're at it. You know, we didn't just make it up. The whole structure of our worship is tied together in a very, very powerful biblical reality that's echoed over and over and over again in the Scriptures. Now, one final example, I won't go through it with you tonight, but is the book of Revelation. I don't know if you're aware, but the entire book of Revelation describes, the whole first section of it describes Mass. You know, robes, incense, candles, there's a throne-like altar with a lamb on it, there's a book that's opened, and the people want to hear what's in the book. Does all this sound familiar? You know, robes, tables, altars, long white robes, incense, candles, singing of hymns. The book is opened, with the 7 seals is opened. And then a lamb on an altar. The Lamb of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb of God is presented. And once again, you see it's all liturgy. It's the Mass over and over again. The Mass echoes throughout the Scriptures, or should we say that basic prayer form echoes in our Mass? Our Mass is biblical. Finally, just to link all this to Advent, simply this. What does this have to do with Advent? Well, are we not preparing to recognize the Lord? This Thursday evening will be Christmas Eve, and we will celebrate the presence of the Lord among us in the Incarnation, the wonder of the Incarnation. Now, he's always with us because Christmas has been fulfilled, but we keep going back over and over again to this remarkable truth that the Lord is not just up in some cloud in heaven. The Lord is here among us. He's here among us in his word. He's here among us in the Blessed Sacrament. And we learn to recognize him. And that begins at Christmas when Mary holds Jesus in her arms and simply says, "Behold, behold your God. Behold the Lamb who has come to save you and set you free." And that's what Mary does. That's what happens in this gospel tonight. He sits still in her womb, but in effect, her very being, the text goes on to say, "My being, my very being, proclaims the greatness of the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." And so Mary always reminds us of the presence of the Lord among us. And as we get ready for Christmas, we recognize and acknowledge the presence of the Lord, and we rejoice in his presence. Amen.